T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
And away we go on this Warrior Wednesday. Welcome to Mornings with Joe Lowe and Dibs here on 95.7 The Game. Rock and roll, this show is loaded. Drew Bledsoe, you know him, you love him. You probably tasted his wine. Walla Walla Washington, he's coming on at 8:30 to talk all things NFL, specifically what happened in Big D yesterday, which we're going to get to in about 30 minutes at 6:30. Tim Roy, the voice of the Golden State Warriors, comes by for Warriors Wednesday, our Warriors Roundtable, which kicks off at 9 o'clock. Set your calendars for 8:45. Maybe I mean set your alarm clocks. Set your calendars, 8:45. The ticket window's opening. Got a little twist. Bruno Mars tickets, ladies and gentlemen. Bruno Mars, he of multiple Super Bowl halftime shows. We're giving those away at 8:45. Welcome in. Glad to have you. We start with the biggest story on the planet. Mexico defeats the U.S. men's national team yesterday
actually,
in a World Cup qualifier.
Costa Rica, Joe, 4-0, but it was just a few days removed from when Mexico did the very thing. I'm surprised I was able to make it to work today because I'm gutted by the result, 4-0.
Central America is just running a train all over the U.S. men's national team, aren't they? Everything
well
south of the border is just getting back at us for our election. They want to let you know you can vote whoever you want in as president. We're going to take you down in soccer. More on that, probably never for the rest of the program. But as we like to kick off each and every show, here comes your update.
And it's all about the Warriors, Joe. Golden State opening up a 4-game road trip in Toronto against the Raptors. Tim Roy on yesterday praising Klay Thompson.
One of the things I've always thought is that if you're the subject of a rumor for a trade, somebody wants you. You know what I mean? So people want you. They value Klay. Klay's one of the best players in the league, and he's not going anywhere right now. You just got to live with some of this stuff that you don't like, expect, or deserve. And Klay's an outstanding player. He's a very important part of this puzzle.
Tim Roy joins us at 9 o'clock. Warriors 8-2, game and a half back of the Clippers. Joe, what's your expectation for tonight off a layoff going all the way to Toronto?
Take advantage of a team that went wire to wire with the Cleveland Cavaliers last night in a brutal defeat with the way that game was officiated in the final 2 minutes. That's a back-to-back. Toronto's got to travel back from Cleveland. It's a short flight, but the Warriors have been off since Sunday. Game opened with the Warriors as a 3-point favorite. The immediate betting action came in on Golden State, moved it up to 5.5. The rested legs should prevail, Dibs.
Our coverage starts at 3:30. Story number two, San Jose Sharks got some elite goalkeeping.
Tara Vinen against Joel Ward. Ward worked at three, but Stahl got it back to the point. Tennyson cross ice. Hennepin the shot. Great save by a challenging Dell. And then he moved right back to the far post and stopped the rebound centering attempt. Aaron Dell, very sharp tonight, made a good save again and held on.
Dan Ruzanowski from K-Fox. Aaron Dell stopping 32 shots, but the Sharks lose to Carolina 1-0. Number three, Alabama remains atop the latest college football playoff standings. There has been some shuffling. Ohio State is 2. Michigan is 3. Clemson's at 4. Stanford, by the way, back in at number 24 with a big game Saturday in Berkeley against Cal. The update brought to you by Big O Tires. Big O Tires, the team you trust. I'm Dan Dibley on your home of the Warriors, 95.7 The Game.
Thank you, Dibs. Lo, you were looking for the first wager to place when we get down to Vegas tomorrow afternoon. I might have it for you. Thursday night, college football action. Louisville goes to Houston, a favorite of the show, but Louisville's laying like 2 touchdowns in this situation. Mm-hmm. Why would we like Louisville? Latest college football rankings, they are number 5 on the outside looking in, and Bobby Petrino, the head coach, has made it very clear. Maybe I should be running up the score a little bit more than I am to get people's attention. Maybe I should have hung 80 on Florida State, he said a week or so ago. You are 1 spot away from getting back in. Houston's the last game on your schedule that has any sort of clout whatsoever. The Cougars may be in for a little bit of trouble against Lamar Jackson, who is now 1-50 to win the Heisman Trophy.
Wow.
Not 50-1, 1-50. Think about that for a moment.
God, we better jump on that before that moves.
Yeah. See, he's already, look at him. He's already thinking. You're already, I got you. Thursday night action as we get down to Las Vegas. We'll be kicking off the Andre Ward fight weekend. Very excited to bring you all the live coverage from MGM Grand on Friday. I'm looking at last night's text line. This stands out from the 510. Sorry, brah. Guru, you sound like a broke down Keith Sweat. We love the guru here. We're just kidding around. Had to mention that as well. So, tonight, right here, you can catch all the action on 95.7 The Game. Tip time, 5 p.m., Warriors at Raptors. Warriors warm-up, our coverage with Damon Bruce, will kick off at 3:30 p.m., you guessed it, right here on 95.7 The Game. Rested legs against a Toronto team that went wire-to-wire with the Cavs last night. What would be, Dibs, your biggest concerns, however, heading into this game? This is a pretty good Toronto team.
Just the opener of a road trip, you know, it's a little bit of an adjustment. You haven't had to make that first East Coast swing yet, so there's a certain amount of, you know, take a deep breath because you're going to be gone for 8 days. You've got four games while you're away. You don't want to have a letdown. And this is a team that has started a little bit slowly in games at times this year.
DeMar DeRozan is averaging 33.2 points per game this season. He has been on fire. This is a guy who early in his career, 8 points a game, 17 a game, 16 a game. Last year he comes on career high, 23.5 points per game. Now, 33. He's been on fire a little, yeah. But rim protection. You got to be keeping an eye on that tonight because Toronto's got a great big man in Jonas Valanciunas. And the Warriors, that's been their Achilles heel on the defensive end of the court.
And I think they understand that. I think that's why you'll see them play better. And I think that they got to get off to a fast start. You're playing a team that went and got in a dogfight last night against Cleveland. So look for the Warriors to come out fast and get up on them and keep the gas to the floor.
Warrior Wednesday brought to you by Walnut Creek Porsche, a 2016 Premier Porsche dealer. Last night, Toronto and Cleveland were playing in a fabulous, fabulous regular season basketball game. That came final after some interesting officiating, 121-117 in favor of, you guessed it, LeBron James and the Cleveland Cavaliers in Cleveland. LeBron was, I believe, an assist or a rebound shy of a triple-double last night.
A rebound.
With the big O sitting courtside.
Yeah.
Now, we're going to get to LeBron James in about 8 minutes at 6:15 based on what he said, what his business partner Maverick Carter has said, and what Phil Jackson said about them, because those comments are taking the nation by storm to an extent. But for last night's game, this was one of the best regular season games you could ask for. These two went toe-to-toe with each other. It's an Eastern Conference Finals rematch. And the final 2 minutes, you've got fouls against Kyle Lowry, Valanciunas. You get the technical against Lowry, and then the possible goaltending on Cleveland in the closing seconds that wasn't called. I don't know what to make of that. I look at that. I always cast a suspicious eye on officiating. That's just naturally how I'm going to be. Whether or not something was actually there, that's for someone else to decide. But I worry about going into a game like tonight where the officials probably saw, you know what, Toronto was on the wrong end of some bad calls in the final 2 minutes that helped determine the outcome of that game. And I ask myself, is Toronto going to be able to get away with mugging Steph and Clay all night long like we see during the playoffs?
I think, dude, you have to first look at and saw what happened. Lowry, he lost his cool. He's in the official's face. The official let him slide. He kept walking with him, threw the ball on the ground, bounces up, and he stopped game flow. And he had no alternative but to team up. And I understand, because I played the game, you get emotional and you're freaking upset and you want to, and especially when you think you get a bad call. But if you're the official and a guy's in your face with your personality and he's still there, you're like, all right, man, and he keeps doing it, you got to team up.
I have a very calm demeanor. I wouldn't have that problem.
You think?
I'm very patient, very calm.
Oh, wow.
I would probably be able to smooth talk the guy into giving someone else a technical.
Yeah, you better keep doing that Zen. But I think that, yeah, when you
yeah, I'm like 2 days in to my little meditation practices.
keep it going. I can tell it's working. But I think that they are going to try to mug Steph and Clay, but those guys are used to that by now. And then they got that guy, KD. You can try to mug him, do whatever. He's just too tall. He's too quick, too limber. He can do too many things when you try to mug him, and he can shoot over you. So I think that this team's going to be a high-scoring game tonight.
Dibs, you've worn the stripes. Anything
yes.
I should be concerned about from last night?
No, and I'm actually watching the official referee's game tape here and reviewing the calls. A lot of times the league asks me to do this and look at closing sequences. Calls went both ways. Lowe's right about Kyle Lowry. That is an automatic. When you slam the ball down.
And off his foot, Dibs.
What, the ball?
Lowry said he dribbled it by accident off his foot.
Wrong.
Yeah, he kind of rolled away.
Wrong. I get it.
I don't want to quote the president-elect too much. Wrong. But absolutely wrong. He's arguing with the ref. He tries to do the angry bounce, which they all do. Angry bounce and catch it is fine. You can throw it as hard as you want as long as you catch it. But if that ball gets away and goes above your head, boom, automatic.
More on this coming up in a few minutes. But here's a question for you, because a lot of people are debating this today. Is the word posse racist? Phil Jackson? We'll find out. Joe Lowe and Dibs, 95.7 The Game.
What can we expect from Jared Goff this weekend? Will Brinson joins us coming up at 6:30. Now back to Joe Lowe and Dibs on 95.7 The Game.
Welcome back, courtesy of Sir Mix-a-Lot, Posse on Broadway. Does this have any relevance to what we're about to talk about?
I wonder.
All right, so 2 days ago, Phil Jackson, of the Chicago Bulls, Los Angeles Lakers, and most notably now, general manager of the New York Knicks, sat down with Jackie McMullen of ESPN and did an interview. Was talking about the tenure of Heat president Pat Riley, and here's what Jackson had to say. Quote, "It had to hurt when they lost LeBron. That was definitely a slap in the face. But there were a lot of little things that came out of that. When LeBron was playing with the Heat, they went to Cleveland, and he wanted to spend the night. They don't do overnights. Teams just don't. So now Coach Eric Spoelstra, did I get that right, or is it Spoelstra?
Coach Spo.
I have a real problem with his last name.
Well, because of the Palestra being from Philly.
I got a huge problem with his last name. I apologize in advance.
Just Coach Spo.
So jumping back in, so now Coach Spo has to text Riley and say, what do I do in this situation? And Pat, who has iron fist rules, answers, you are on the plane. You are with this team. You can't hold up the whole team because you and your mom and your posse want to spend an extra night in Cleveland. Now, LeBron James and the posse comment refers to his longtime friends who he grew up with who manage a lot of his business enterprises, led by Maverick Carter, as well as Rich Paul and Randy Mims. They've been involved in his life a very long time. They've been with him from the beginning of his basketball career. Maverick Carter hears him or he on the Jackson comments. That's Maverick Carter, longtime associate and friend of LeBron James, on the Colin Cowherd show yesterday in response to Phil Jackson's comments. So let's start with this. And Carter also clarified on Twitter that he did not feel Jackson was being racist with the term posse. He thought he was being disrespectful. Lo, can you see where Carter and James are coming from in this situation?
I think two wrongs don't make a right. And I think LeBron was disrespectful by holding up the whole team. You have to think about others before necessarily yourself. Because I think LeBron has a gravitas, even when he was in Miami, that he could have went to the Coach Spo, as you like to say it. And said,
well,
said,
as of about 2 minutes ago.
Yeah, and you could have said, Coach, when we come to Cleveland, I'd like to stay. There's some business affairs I need to take care of, and I'll fly back the next day on my own dime. I've done it. I've had Coach let me do it, and I'm nowhere near LeBron. So I think LeBron handled that situation wrong. Now, when it comes to posse, I understand. Like he was alluding to, it's not being racist, but it is. It's disrespectful saying it's a posse, it's its crew. You know, instead of saying his business associations, his confidants, and whatever. And he could have used a different words, different language, but he decided not to. So I think that it's more disrespectful than anytime like racist.
Dibs, your thoughts? Disrespectful, racist in any way, shape, or form?
It's hard for me to say as a white guy, because when I hear posse, I don't take it as anything racially charged, but I've never lived the life as an African American, and I quite frankly don't have a group of friends. I don't have any friends. So it's hard for me to...
Any African-American friends or just friends in general?
Just friends, period. Friends, period. Now, if he felt like it was disrespectful, then that's his feeling. And you can't judge another person's feelings on how the language is received. And now, if he said his gang or his clique or his group, I mean, different words can have different meanings to different people. And if he felt like this was offensive, then you can't judge that wrongly.
Here's LeBron James yesterday evening So 2 days ago, you've got Phil Jackson's comments. Then you've got Maverick Carter responding. James was asked about this yesterday. That's LeBron on Phil Jackson. And the text line responding, predictably so. I think it's about five in a row. Stop being a sensitive expletive, LeBron. LeBron's just acting like a whiny expletive. Soft expletive, LeBron. Wah, wah, wah. We are so sensitive. It just goes on and on. First of all, let's explain the timeline of how something like this works. Somebody notable says something that is perceived to be controversial. That's step one. That's Phil Jackson's comments. Step two, we react. Step three, the subject of those perceived controversial comments responds. That's LeBron James. Step four, we react. He has to say something. He's going to be asked about this at his media sessions until he says something. So the matter has to be addressed. He can say whatever he wants, but the fact that he just responds is immediately being taken as him being soft, him being sensitive. That guy deserves more special treatment than anyone on earth. Let me ask you something. Why do people get special treatment? Because they're special. Do you know what he is worth to an NBA franchise? Do you know what he is worth to a local community? Do you know what he is worth in terms of wins? That guy delivers everything you could possibly ask for from a star player. He doesn't cause any problems off the court. He produces at an extremely high level. He makes you money. He brings you notoriety. There is no downside to being in the business of LeBron James. So if he wants to spend an extra night, I don't care. Make it happen. Do you know how many other teams? Do you think Milwaukee would let him spend an extra night if he wanted to in Cleveland?
Sure. But at the same sense, I think there's a way you do things. And I think, like you talked about, special. Someone has a parking pass and get up front because they have a special element of their body. Like you said, they're special. But when you look at what's going on with LeBron and look at it, he said, I built my legacy. If this was Pac-Man Jones, Joe, and Pac-Man Jones, if you heard comments like that, automatically you would assume his posse was a group of thugs. Let's be real. Don't tell me, and everyone can on the text line can jump on low and say he's no.
No, it makes sense.
If Pac-Man Jones had a group of guys, certain guys have a group of people, they would call them, oh, they got their posse. That's a posse. And LeBron, all he's saying, look, I worked hard to build my reputation, and I'm not saying that he's, because I don't think it was necessary he was being racist, but he is. It was being disrespectful. Because certain guys, you call posses.
If it's white America coming out of their Goldman Sachs building on Wall Street, it's probably associates. They're probably not referred to as a posse.
Absolutely.
So you can see why the manner, at the very least, needs to be addressed. I don't think he's whining. I think he's giving you a response. That's what people ask for.
Sure.
That's what he gave them. Now it's on to Toronto, and then it'll be on to the next game
right
down the road. We'll have a lot more on this later. But the big decision has finally come down in Big D. What does it mean for the rest of the National Football League? Will Brinson from CBS will answer that and more next. Joe Lowe and Dibs, 95.7 The Game. Joe and Lowe here for Sleep Train with a mattress price war sale. It's going to end soon. Now, listen, good things never last. We all know that. And Sleep Train's mattress price war sale, it's going to be gone before you know it. For a short time, save up to $600 on Tempur-Pedic with savings on every Tempur-Pedic model in the store. That includes cooling Tempur-Breeze, exclusive Tempur-HD. Take your pick and save. Or save up to $400 on Beautyrest and Posturepedic, two of Sleep Train's most popular mattress brands. If you're expecting holiday house guests this season, you can even welcome them in with a $399 queen-size pillow top mattress set by Hampton & Rhodes. Guests will love the cushion top and supportive design, Lowe.
That's no question, Joe. So, man, you know what you could do? Start sleeping better as soon as tonight. Yes, because they have the same-day delivery when you purchase by 2 p.m. Sleep Train has highly trained professionals that deliver your mattress and remove your old bed for you as well. So all you have to do is think about getting a great night's sleep. So head down to Sleep Train, Joe.
No lie, I've got to go to Sleep Train soon. We're doing a little redecorating in the apartment. The in-laws are planning to come in for a month. Once the baby's born, gotta go to Sleep Train. Need another bed, gotta make sure Marty and Doreen are taken care of to the highest of standards. Superior service, best selection, lowest price guaranteed. Sleep Train is your ticket to a better night's sleep.
Raptors TV analyst Leo Routens previews Raptors and Warriors coming up at 7:30. Now back to Joe, Lowe, and Dibs on 95.7 The Game.
Welcome back. You want an MMA fight for the next UFC card? I got one for you. Miko Grimes versus Sage Steele.
What?
If the action in the ring lives up to the war of words that took place on social media yesterday between Miko Grimes, the wife of Tampa Bay cornerback Brent Grimes and Sage Steele of ESPN and ABC, well, you get some fireworks in the ring. Look out, Conor McGregor.
Okay.
Very happy to go to the phones. Welcome in our next guest, Will Brinson, senior NFL writer at CBS Sports. Will, good morning.
What's up, guys? How you doing?
very well.
Will, how you been?
How's everything in the Carolina region with Clemson still staying in that top four in the playoff?
Will.
Oh, Will.
Sweet Will.
All right, let's go ahead and see if we can work on Will again, work on a little bit of a better connection. One of the best in the business. The first talking point, I already got sidetracked because I know he's from North Carolina, but Dak Prescott, Tony Romo, ladies and gentlemen. Romo yesterday, one of the more gracious, elegant speeches you'll ever hear from a professional athlete in regards to the fact that Dallas now has made the decision. They're moving forward with Dak Prescott.
And he used one of my favorite words, which is meritocracy, saying based on merit, things get handed out. I like that.
All right, we got him back. Will Brinson, senior NFL writer at CBS Sports. Will, welcome back to the program. The decision yesterday in Dallas, it's going to be Dak Prescott show moving forward. Tony Romo with a very gracious speech to the media. How did he come off to you in that press conference?
Oh, I mean, I thought he was fantastic. Look, I mean, he'd already lost the job, so it was a concession speech. You know, that's all it was. And ultimately, concession speeches need to be gracious. They need to be, uniting. There's probably a parallel here I'm not thinking of, but they need to be. They need to reach across the table and say, and try and make things better for all parties involved. And I think that's what Tony Romo did. I mean, first of all, he made himself look sympathetic, which is good. I mean, you don't want to be the bad guy backup who's causing Dak to look over his shoulder. Second of all, I think he united the team. I mean, I think all of his teammates, everyone in the NFL was tweeting and saying, wow, got to respect that guy. Even Tony Romo is the king of social media, the king of being the butt of social media jokes. And yet he was absolutely toasted on Tuesday. And so I would assume his teammates are all looking at him and saying, man, that's a good dude. We got a good thing vibing with this team. And then, he said, Dak's got my back and I've got his. And I think it'll ease up. It's going to ease up the questions that Jerry Jones and Tony get from the media. It was a smart statement from that regard, because now they can just move forward and Dak's the quarterback until Jerry Jones and Jason Garrett decide that they need to, if they need to make a change. And look, I don't think, I get that Dak is the guy. I also think that if for any reason Dak were to come out and lay an egg against the Ravens this week and Dallas were to lose at home to Baltimore, and then he played badly for two quarters against Washington the week after that, I don't think Jason Garrett or Jerry Jones would hesitate to break glass in case of emergency and go straight to Tony Romo.
Okay, so let's assume that it remains Prescott's job all the way through the postseason, that he stays healthy and he performs well enough to line up under center for the Cowboys every single week. What's next for Romo? Is he headed to another city? And any city come to mind for you that might be a great fit?
Well, there could be a bunch of potential fits next year with the way the quarterback carousel has played out. Obviously, Chicago has a situation where they don't have a good quarterback. Tony played college at Eastern Illinois, so he's got some local connections there. I think he'd be a tremendous fit potentially in a Bruce Arians offense in Arizona, depending on what Carson Palmer's situation is. But, Tony Romo, I don't know if he's healthy enough to be a fit there. He's older, he's got back issues, and he's going to cost a lot of money. Aside from those things, he's a great fit because he's a good quarterback. I think the biggest obstacle you see with Romo is that, first of all, Dallas, it's going to come down to, is Jerry Jones willing to give Tony Romo a chance to play somewhere else instead of having one of the best backups in the league? Because I think they're only going to save $5 million against the cap and $5 million straight up in cash by trading Tony or by releasing him. He has a $19 million cap hold regardless. So it's not like getting rid of Tony Romo and shipping him out is some just easy, obvious move. I mean, the Cowboys are going to have to think long and hard about the risk involved. But, if somebody were willing to give them something tangible in return, I certainly think they'd be willing to send Tony Romo to another team.
No one loves the Dallas Cowboys. I mean, no one like Tony Romo. He showed that yesterday. How important was him to unite the team? And also, what did that do for Dak Prescott by having a guy of that stature turn over the keys and say, hey, look, I understand. I'm moving forward. I'm going to humbly bow out.
Well, I think it's a huge difference maker if you're Dak, because you're not. I mean, look, Dak has been incredible this year in terms of dealing with this adversity, because there are a lot of people and a lot of in certainly in football and probably other professions that might soil themselves if they had the idea of an all-pro quarterback, MVP caliber quarterback sitting on the bench waiting to come in and take the job, especially given how. You know, Tony Romo is the apple of Jerry Jones' eye. Dak has handled it with aplomb. He's been fantastic. You know, he said, look, I don't worry about those things. I'm just here for the team. And, I think that matters to a degree. But, yeah, Tony coming out and saying, hey, you know, I've got Dak's back. I am supporting Dak. And I think it goes to an underlying aspect of this that we haven't probably talked about enough, because we're the media and we get frenzied about it. But I think Tony's probably been a pretty good mentor for Dak the entire time. You know, I think that's sort of flown under the radar, that Tony Romo has helped Dak grow as a player, even though it hasn't helped Tony Romo as a person or a player, but, you know, by making Dak better. And I think that shows how much he loves the Cowboys. And it's one of those things where, you know, look, Dak Prescott, Tony Romo is a better quarterback than Dak Prescott. I mean, you know, all things equal. We don't know if Tony's healthy enough to be better right now, but I have to anticipate he's pretty close to it. The difference is, if you're someone who's a Cowboys, you know, you're on the Cowboys team, you can't conceivably ask them to go away from the guy who's gotten this team to 8-1. They're just too hot.
One more, Will, before we let you go. Jared Goff going to start for the Rams for the first time. The bar set very low considering who's come before him, but isn't also the bar set very high because he was a number one overall pick?
Yeah, but I think Jeff Fisher offense negates the number one pick, right? I think the bar is set. I think the bar is actually set higher because of guys like Dak Prescott and Carson Wentz. You know, we've seen Cody Kessler play. We've seen Kevin Hogan play. I'm missing like two guys that have played from this class that are rookies. I mean, it's been a good rookie class. And so if Jared Goff comes in and struggles, then people are going to question that top pick because of the success from other quarterbacks. He should be able to, he could probably cut off one of his legs and pole vault over the bar set by the other Rams quarterbacks since Sam Bradford was there in 2010. But, I the bigger concern for me, and even Goff right now, because it's the middle of the season, the bigger concern for me is Todd Gurley. I mean, they managed to neuter a guy who, to me, was going to be one of the best running backs in the league. And if Gurley's not going, if Gurley's not going in that offensive line and opening up holes for Gurley, I don't see how they're going to protect for Goff. I feel like it's a either-or proposition with him and Case Keenum. And I anticipate this is somewhat of a mixture of, we're going to give up and go with the rookie and see how he looks. But if we happen to make a push for the playoffs because we're right there on the fringe, then I look smart move. From Jeff Fisher.
Fantastic use of neuter, by the way. That was wonderful.
neutered. I believe I used neutered aplomb and soiled himself.
Yes.
In this interview.
Well done, Will.
Big show. Senior NFL writer at CBS Sports, Will Brinson, with Joe Lowndes on 95.7 The Game. Will, first class effort. We really appreciate the time. Look forward to catching up again soon.
Yeah, guys. Anytime. Have a great day.
You got it. 20 minutes from now, why Tony Romo's speech may have caused an inadvertent problem for the Cowboys. But we've got the next UFC mega card in the making, Miko Grimes versus Sage Steele. Here's the kicker. I've got to find a way to read off Miko Grimes' tweets in the next segment, and about 95% of the words can't be said on radio, so we're going to see how much trouble I get myself into. Joe Lowndes, 95.7 The Game.
Raptors TV analyst Leo Routens previews Raptors and Warriors coming up at 7:30. Now, back to Joe Lowndes on 95.7 The Game.
Welcome back. Heavy, heavy debate taking place during the last break. We're going to pose it to you. Text line 95795. This is a poll question Will Brinson, our last guest from CBS, put up on his Twitter account. Which is more of a blue-collar condiment?
Yes.
Mustard or mayo? 95795. Mustard or mayo? Which is more of a blue-collar condiment?
Right now it's running 42% mustard, 38% mayonnaise.
I don't trust polling. Sorry, Dibs. I don't trust polling anymore.
Don't trust it. You can't trust it.
I don't know how rural America is voting on this. I have no idea how they're going to turn out. So
no one should trust polling. No one. Absolutely no one should trust it.
If mustard can just get Detroit, If Mustard can just win Detroit, Lowe.
Wisconsin, Ohio. There's a lot of places Mustard needs to get.
If Nate Silver's on Mustard, I'm going mayo. That's how that's going to be. So 95795, which is a more blue-collar condiment? That was the hot debate taking place over the last break. So we promised you a potential MMA showdown in the UFC. Well, here we go. Oh, my God. All right. So I got to be very, very delicate here. This is going to take all my 5 minutes of training in this industry.
Let it all out,
Sage
buddy. Let it
Steele
all out.
From ESPN. You've seen her. She's on the NBA preview show and the halftime show. You'll see her during the NBA finals. She's on ESPN. She took to Twitter yesterday to essentially make a comment to Buccaneers wide receiver Mike Evans. Evans, if you remember, refused to stand for the national anthem in Sunday's win over Chicago. The reason for that is he's protesting the election results that gave Donald Trump the presidential victory. Now, we're not getting into any of that, but that's what Evans is doing. He's protesting Trump's nomination. So Sage Steele goes to Twitter and she throws up a picture of, is this Arlington National Cemetery? It looks like an individual who is kneeling beside a tombstone at Arlington National Cemetery, paying his respects to possibly a loved one, a friend, a relative. But it's a very moving photo. And the comment says from Sage Steele, quote, "Hey, Mike Evans, look up definition of the word democracy and remember this pic while kneeling, exercising your right to protest. Hashtag perspective." All right. So Sage Steele's weighing in on Mike Evans' protest. Understandable. We're all weighing in on everybody's protest these days. Meiko Grimes is the wife of Buccaneers cornerback Brent Grimes. If you remember Meiko, she is quite outspoken on Twitter, quite outspoken in general, and it was one of the reasons rumored to be why the Dolphins parted ways with Brent Grimes. They didn't want to have to deal with Meiko Grimes anymore, who was very outspoken in her issues and thoughts regarding Dolphin quarterback Ryan Tannehill. Grimes goes on a Twitter tirade yesterday that lasted a few hours and was just... I don't even have the words to describe it. Here's how it starts. And please bear with me here.
Quote, it's been a good run, Joe, in case you get fired. I really enjoyed these last 2 months.
I love you guys, and I love all you listeners. Please tell that expletive, Sage Steele, that thinks because she expletive every night, that means she isn't, I'm going to go with expletive here. That I said expletive her. I don't even know if anyone gets the context of what's going on there, but very, very aggressive.
Basically, please tell Sage Steele that because she has relations with a white guy doesn't make her something special.
Okay, that's a...
Her stuff don't stink.
Right.
Okay. That's what she's trying. I'll just give it how she said.
I love the translation.
She said just because
Love.
You hanging out or married to a white guy, don't think your stuff don't stink.
Okay. Thank you for summing that up. I appreciate that. That's
very
well
done. I got you, bro. Keep going.
Whew. I'm starting to sweat over here.
I got you, baby.
That's only one of like 70 tweets. I'm not going to go through all of them, but Meiko goes on, black expletive, get white privilege, then forget soldiers fought for everyone's rights, not just the rights you care about. This goes on and on and on. You get the gist. She was very aggressive going after Sage Steele. A lot of race, a lot of sexual innuendo. It's not even really innuendo. It's so explicit. But that's what's happening right now. To even try to weigh in on this battle between the two is one thing, but it raises a more interesting point. Lo, if you're Brent Grimes and you're in Tampa right now, and your wife is this outspoken, because she mentions comments about the Buccaneers organization in there. My husband works for the Buccaneers. I don't work for the Buccaneers. I'm not beholden to the front office, the coaches, the players. Like, she's basically saying that organization's got nothing on me. That's my husband's job. He does him. I'm going to do me. Pretend you're in that locker room. You played for Tampa, and you got a player on the team whose wife is that outspoken, saying all this stuff, possibly bringing a distraction to the locker room. How are you handling this? What are you doing?
I think we should probably – can Cody do me a favor? I want you to reach out to Hillary Clinton and see if she can come on the phone, because she could talk about Bill. What he, you know, she had – sometimes you suffer for what your significant other do. And I think that's – I don't think I'm that's any stretch of an imagination. So I think that when you can't control – I don't want to use the word control, because I don't want to seem like, you know, I think a man could control his wife or the wife should control her husband. But I think there needs to be an understanding and a dialogue that you need to say, look, these things do affect me and my job and our well-being. It doesn't just, it's not just about you, because when you do these things, what you do is you do affect my job. You're going to bring unjust criticism. And not just that, today in Tampa, you don't think the microphone is going to be in his face?
Right.
You don't think that everyone's going to be, hey, I want to hear what you got to say. Hear what you got. It's now it been forced, because not because of himself, because it's his wife. She chose to attack stage and have a debate. And the words that she used now is going to merit a response from her husband. Unjust. So it does affect. So you're saying, what does it do? It's unjust because guys in that locker room, coaches, even though it's not you, don't think that the coach, the GM, walks through that locker room and look and see it and say, I know who that is. You don't think that they're not hearing it. Don't think that the GM in the front office don't understand what's going on. Let's keep it real.
Well, that's part of the reason why Brent Grimes was rumored to be run out of Miami. All her comments regarding Ryan Tannehill, they had grown to be a bigger distraction than the production Grimes was willing to give them.
Absolutely.
So they figured, let's cut this off and let's move on.
Because, and that was a little different situation, because now I'm in the locker room and I go and I see Tannehan, I like to call him. and now Tannehan looks at me and, bro, man, can't you tell your wife to shut up? And it might turn into a fight, because you're going to do that. Now you feel that he's disrespecting your wife. It can become ugly and it can become uncomfortable. And the wives are sitting in a section. It's all the wives. And now, shoot, it might break out to Armageddon. I'm keeping it real.
But that's exactly what I'm getting at. Comments like that. Now Tannehill, whether he has a good relationship with Brent Grimes or not, you got to figure.
It makes it uncomfortable.
He's thinking to himself, all right, what's this guy talking about with his wife?
Pillow talk.
Exactly.
Call it pillow talk.
So now he doesn't like me, so now I got a problem with the defensive side of the ball. Grimes has obviously got friends on the team that'll side with him.
Sure.
Tannehan, has friends on the team that are going to side with him. This could split a locker room.
Yeah, and it's all because of spousal involvement when – you know, you're trying to play your game, you're trying to do your craft, and things are being created from the outside that don't need to be created. And if Mecco Grimes has things to say to Sage Steele, go ahead and say them, but know full well that they could affect your husband and his profession.
This has been going on since the beginning of time, Joe. You know, David saw Bathsheba up on the mountain. She saw him and he looked over at her, said he wouldn't desire. It goes on with Delilah. So many women seen something and then she tell that man, boom, go do. And then they do things that, because they got to defend the women or the men, vice versa. So it's in that book.
Warrior Wednesday brought to you by Premier Kia of Newark, the go-to dealer for the greater Newark area. Tim Roy, voice of the Warriors, joins us at 9 o'clock for a Warrior Roundtable on this Warrior Wednesday. I don't mean to get personal, so let me know if I'm going too far here. You were married while you were in the league.
Yeah.
You and Dee still together.
Yeah.
Beautiful, lovely woman. Were there ever times where you're obviously going to have team functions where wives and families might be getting together? Do you ever have to maybe have that conversation where it's, okay, we're going to be in front of the bosses? Because I know I've had this. I know a lot of people have it outside of, you know, professional sports. We're going to, you know, the company Christmas party. Let's make sure we're very polite. Let's make sure, you know, we don't drink too much. You might have to have that conversation or what have you. Did you ever have those conversations just thinking like we're going to be around a lot of my teammates, a lot of my bosses, owners are going to be there. You know, it's important we put on a very good face, right?
I imagine people have that conversation with me. She was always having that conversation with me. On opposite, it's opposite end of the spectrum. No, for one, I mean, she's like, you better calm down tonight, don't you? Get out of control. No, but I mean, Dee's situation, you got to realize she knows most of the owners, Spanos. She was nannying for Dia and she Dean and all those. So she knew them before me. I mean, she was grown up in Stockton, but she's a lady of, you don't have to worry about it. I never, ever would you have to tell her how to behave. And a lot of guys do.
But that's what I'm getting
at. No.
You could see how people have the conversation like, all right, tonight this is a very professional setting. This isn't us going to get it in with our friends.
No, without a doubt, you see, you guys would have to talk to their girls and girls talk to their guys. Without a doubt, things can absolutely spiral out of control. And whether it's the ownership, whether it's other women, whether it's other dudes, People definitely have those conversations, Joe, without a doubt.
The difference is Dee is a classy lady, while Miko Grimes, it's okay if she wants to disagree with something that Sage Steele says, but the way she did it is just disgusting.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. And I wasn't trying to imply that there's any issue in with you guys. What I was insinuating was the idea that any of us have that. If we're going into a professional setting, you might have the conversation. This isn't us going into Shore House with our closest friends. This is us in a professional setting.
But the difference is, Joe, that be honest and just tell like it is. It's a lack of class.
Mm-hmm.
It's a lack of education. It's a lack of being able to communicate in a bantering way if you're going to disagree and put it down, because everyone gets to read that. And they get to see how she's cussing, using these different words, calling the girls B words.
Oh, she's brutal.
And it's beyond the B word. So how do you expect for her to listen to you or to receive that? I just think that there's a lack of understanding how to communicate with people. So this is it's unfortunate, man, that people can go on Twitter and take the Twitter and just berate people like that.
Dibs, this going to cause a problem for the Buccaneers heading into this weekend?
I think not going into this weekend, but going forward for Brent Grimes, I think it becomes something that he has to carry with him throughout his career. And it's disappointing that a player would have to have things that his wife tweets about affect potential future employment, but that's the world we live in.
She want to do a show. She wants a reality show. She'll get it. Keep doing that. Because the network, they'll say, oh, I like this.
That's so sad.
That's the world we live in.
So sad.
We made it. I don't think the FCC is on the line. Is the FCC on the line back there?
We're done here.
All right. All right. The job survives to another segment. All right. Tony Romo, Dak Prescott. Here's the thing. A lot went down in Big D yesterday, but as great as Romo's, quote, concession speech may have been, it might have some unintended consequences that Dallas could have to deal with down the road. We'll explain that in 1 minute. Joe Lo and Dibs coming right back, 95.7 The Game.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.